Well, that bit brighter now at 8 a.m. tells you that the drumbeat of the seasons is marching on, and here we are in the second half of February already, and there are over 500,000 spring calves born already this year. It struck us when we were talking about how to cover calving on the programme this year that in a relatively short number of years, a huge amount of change has happened around calving. Sexed semen, dairy to beef calves, changed movement rules, changes which, if you're not in the dairy industry or a dairy farmer, can be hard to see the wood from the trees on, but they do add up. To what, though? So, stay with us this morning. If you drink milk, if you don't approve of drinking milk, if you eat cheese or yogurt or butter, or if you don't, it is time for a little bit of a stock take. Professor Frank O'Mara, head of Chagas, will be here in a few minutes to look at how the life of the calf born in 2025 is different to the one born in 2005 and how different it might be in another 10 years. But I thought that it might be useful first to visit a vet slash dairy farmer, someone who understands what the gold standard of animal husbandry needs to be, but someone who also knows what it's like trying to calve and to milk and to spread slurry and to check grass and everything else all at the same time. Hazel Mullins is head of Veterinary Ireland and milks 60 cows with her father, excuse me, in Carrignavar, north of Cork City.
They're all the boys and girls from last year.
Look at you.
So there's 8 calves in here now at the moment with their jackets on and lots of straw. And then we have the automatic feeder, which was only turned on yesterday. So we're still all getting used to it.
How is the automatic feeder working out then?
It's good, yeah. There's a screen here that I can check to see which calves have fed today. So it's all very scientific. So see all those green ticks next to each calf here? Mm-hmm. So that means that they've all fed in this 8-hour period. So there's one calf here, 5:12. So by 4 o'clock, she should have drunk. So I'll find her and just lead her up to the feeder so she makes sure she feeds.
But okay, that exclamation mark means that she hasn't had anything or just not enough?
She hasn't had her allocated 2 litres in this 8-hour period. And maybe we could go find 15:12 and she might feed for us as well. She's my husband's favourite calf, actually, because she's got that character.
Yeah, she doesn't do what you ask her to do.
Now...
There she is.
So as you can see, the green light has gone on. So she'll start
sucking
there now.
You wanted to feed. Look at that.
Yeah. So the milk is going from the main station through the pipes into the feeding station. And the green light is on. And that machine knows that this is 15:12 because there's a reader in the side of it there and her ear tag is electronic. So it reads it and they know that will give information back to the machine that says that 15:12 has drunk her 2 litres once she's finished. Yeah.
The automatic feeder replaces just 2 feeds at either end of the day, administered by hand by a tired and busy farmer, with a calf-specific size of feed of antibody-enhancing colostrum at more regular intervals. And in another innovation, the quality of the colostrum is now assessed on the farm by Hazel.
So this is the refractometer. So we would take a little drop of the colostrum and put it onto the little glass thing here and then close it down. And then you'd look up into the light and basically where the blue line meets the white line is what percentage proteins are in the colostrum, so over 22%.
Let me have a look.
Yeah, yes.
And the number scores so up the side, and
exactly.
You want that to be
22 or above.
Mm-hmm. If it's not?
If it's not, I'd probably go and defrost better colostrum. To be fair, a lot of them are kind of reading 25, 26 at the moment, so I'm
so
kind
it's
of
not a problem. Okay.
Not a problem on the farm, but generally it is good to keep an eye on it because if you're feeding poor quality colostrum, even if you're feeding the 3 litres, they're not going to be getting the benefit of it.
But my God, that's a level of science and inspection of what's going into these calves
that he's a million miles away from presumably the dairy farm that you grew up on.
Yeah, no, we definitely didn't have refractometers on the farm, or we weren't storing colostrum or anything like that. And now it seems just second nature, to be honest. And you get into a routine of it.
Do you see it in the calves?
I definitely feel like disease is less. I feel like there's less scour and there's less pneumonia. I think my dad has always been a really good stockman, so he's always had really nice calves, and we've always looked after our calves and had lots of straw and fed them really well.
But you get the benefit as well as being a vet of seeing an awful lot of other yards. So are they a different creature now, a different beast to the calf of 20, 30 years ago, do you think?
I feel like genetics as well have come on a lot, and I think that they're a healthier calf, and I feel like disease on farm, if it does come in, we can get on top of it. That is a big change since I qualified anyway 10 years ago. You know, there's a real intervention now. If there's something wrong on a farm, we can really do a lot. You know, there's a lot more tools in our toolbox, I feel. So these are the far-off cows that are maybe a couple of weeks from calving, and then these are hopefully all going to be calved in the next 2 weeks. And then the ladies with the pink on their backs, they're all calved and they're all milking.
The part of calving most non-farming people listening to Countrywide have a problem with is taking the calves away from the mother after they're born. Wearing both your dairy farmer hat and your vet hat, is there any noise in your head over that, or are you happy with it?
Removing the calf at birth, I'm knowing that they're getting their 3 litres of colostrum. It's giving them that calf the best chance for disease prevention later on in their lives. Also, dairy cows produce so much milk that one calf wouldn't be able to, you know, drink, and they'd be able to, they could get mastitis. Some cows have very little interest in their calves. Some cows are going off eating silage the minute they give birth, or once they go into the parlour, they kind of get their nuts and they get used to, they're back in their herd, they get back into routine. They're very, you know, they're content. Okay. And then they get back into their shed or out to the field.
So any distress is short-lived?
Very short, yes, yeah. Okay. If I was a calf, I wouldn't mind being in that calf shed. They're very cosy, they've got food on tap, and they're in their little jackets and they're happy out.
You have jackets on most of them, and you have pink jackets and blue jackets.
Yes.
Have you really gone bougie or shishy enough to sex the jackets?
I might have, Philip. Yeah, the boys prefer the blue, I think. But sometimes the boys do get the pink. But generally, I use it as a kind of an identifier as well. And
oh, that's what it is, isn't
it,
Hazel?
Yeah.
It's not playing dress up with your calves, no.
No, not at all, not at all. But look how cute they are. They're gorgeous.
Redeem yourself here, because there's the sort of the reptilian part of my brain says, oh, come on, 30, 40 years ago, calves never needed jackets. How much better do they do with the jackets?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of research on, I suppose, heat and warmth in calves. So calves have a critical temperature of 15 degrees. So basically that means anything less than 15 degrees, so it's probably about 9 degrees here now today, they're actually using energy to stay warm. So straw helps them to keep warm, extra feed helps them, and the jackets help them as well. So look, this isn't the warmest shed in the world, so I like to have the jackets on, especially for the first 2 weeks. Because as they grow, their critical temperature, you know, lowers. So at 3 weeks, it's about 1 degree, 2 degrees. So they're much more able to cope with that temperature change. Yeah.
So the jury might be out on the pink and the blue, but as to the actual jacket, the thrive that these animals would experience as a consequence is just absolutely accepted.
Yes, no, definitely. And I've noticed that, God, when you take off the jackets, like they've just, you don't realise how much they've thrived over the last couple of weeks, and it really shows in them. And I just think, look, they love them. They jump around in them. They don't mind wearing them. And it's just when you put your hand underneath the jacket, you can feel the warmth. And it's really nice.
Hello. Yes, I'm going to do that. Oh, you're very cozy under there, aren't you? When were jackets introduced?
I would have said I would have seen them on farms about 5 years. They've gone really, really popular. Yeah.
So it really is a very recent innovation then.
Yeah, so we started off with maybe 10, and we've definitely, like, buying about 10, and then we went up, we've probably about 30 or 40 jackets now. Again, washing them is important because you need to keep them clean, and between calves you need to wash them. And yeah, so the gates outside in the in when it's a sunny day will be covered in calf jackets drying. So we'll get you down to wash a few calf jackets someday, Philip. And
that's yeah. quite all right. I don't know why you think I'd be qualified to do that.
Hazel Mullins on the farm in Carrignavar.